This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'll say it again. South Florida has caused me to abandon all of my values.
Ooh.
I don't.
Nude beaches?
I know.
Nude beaches?
I'd be fine with that.
Gambling addiction? Because, swingers parties?
You know why I'd be fine with that? Because everybody around here is over 80, and I would look the best on the nude beach. I mean,
just
would be smoking
your stuff right
hot.
Down the beach. Yeah.
No, here's why. I'll tell you what happened. My parents live in a community, as most older people do, many older people do in Florida, where there's a clubhouse. You know, there's amenities and there's shuffleboard and there's pickleball and tennis. And it's a lovely place to be able to retire if you can do it. They also have a little cafe for the people that live here,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little restaurant.
Sure.
And
they serve dinner at 3:30 in the afternoon.
The special. Absolutely. And they close up at 4. So, yep. No, that's not true. Oh, close, though. So my parents, Mark and I, were going to go have lunch at the cafe, just together, just the two of us. So my parents say to me, you have to tip at least 20% when you go. I looked at them. Generally, they don't tell me how to spend my money or whatever, but they say, you have to tip because the cafe tells us that, you know, these people rely on tips and they need the help and that you should tip a minimum of 20%. So Mark and I are like, okay, I mean, generally, if there are no extra fees on the bill, you know, that's something that we would do anyway. But I was thinking, Adam, if somebody at home told me that I was going to go to a restaurant and I had to tip 20%, I would be flipped. Forget it. Absolutely. You can't tell me what to tip. It depends on the service and depends on the price. I would be up in arms. Maybe it's because I've reverted back to being a child, being around my parents. But also, the sense, and this is why it's different than at home. And I'll just be completely honest with this. The sense of privilege here leads me to be far more generous with the people I'm tipping. Okay? Because I'm feeling like there are people who live in a beautiful, safe community and they have a clubhouse and they have amenities. So the people working there are viewing this every day. You know, they're not working at a regular restaurant that's open to the public, that kind of thing. You know, it's not the small business owner trying to make a living. So when she said that to me, that, you know, they don't live in the community, but they work in the community, I thought, oh my gosh, no problem. I will overtip. And then, of course, it got me thinking what a hypocrite I am, because at home I'd be screaming about how unfair this is and I don't want these extra fees and you can't tell me what to tip and just charge the amount for the burger. And here I am saying, no problem. Let me give you more of my money.
Because you've
I'm a hypocrite.
Is that based on like more of a pity over the workers there than here?
I don't think it's more pity, but I think that I guess I felt that the workers here are probably judging the people that eat at the club. Like, I know you can afford the 20%.
Right.
So
this is like a White Lotus episode, by the way. This is like a White Lotus episode. You know, White Lotus is all about like white privilege. Maybe next White Lotus will be at Del Boca Vista down there in Florida.
And remember, it might be. Now, remember, my parents are very average. But my dad was a scientist. My mom was a teacher. They just, you know,
isn't Mar-a-Lago.
This isn't Mar-a-Lago. They don't have gold toilets. You know, they're just very regular people who, you know, were able to retire and have a place down here in a lovely community. And when they said that to me, at first I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're telling me what to tip. But then they said it's because the cafe wants to keep these workers and they, you know, want to, of course I should have pushed back with the normal Jordana that said, why don't they pay them more? Mm-hmm. You know, you guys pay your assessments. Why don't they pay them more?
Right.
But you know what? I wasn't going to fight. That's why I feel like I've abandoned my morals being down here because I did not fight back. And I was like, take all my money. You can have it. No problem. So, I guess, Adam, does that make me a hypocrite?
I don't think so, but I think your thought process down there is the right thought process, though.
You think so?
I think so.
Because of the privilege guilt that I was feeling?
I don't know if it's privilege guilt. I just feel... when you first told the story, I'm wondering, were you upset because it was your parents telling you to do that? And was it just like your
because we
always push back at what our parents are telling us. That's kind of what kids do. It's like, oh, really, mom and dad? But yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation because I wonder if there's an age where you accept. We'll talk about that another time, but good thought.
Yeah, I don't think you're being a hypocrite. We are, I think, unfortunately, and sometimes misguidedly, upholden to this standard of, you have to tip a certain amount, when I think we've lost what tipping really means. Is that, I'll just say, it would take an extraordinarily bad service for me to actually pull back from like a 20% tip. And I'm not saying that, hey, I'm Mr. Generous. I mean, I'm always in my mind. It's just I figure the 20% is the tip, unless it's like extraordinarily bad or significantly bad. So that isn't a problem for me. And maybe more of us need to be like you are normally. That, no, this like you should, the tip should be something that is absolutely earned, not just assumed. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that, and if you feel differently down there, but I don't think those workers are any... less fortunate than the ones up here who you scrutinize more.
I think the difference...
You don't think they're any less fortunate. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think the difference here is whose turf you're on. If I go to my local watering hole and I make the decision that, boy, the price are too high or there's fees, darn it, I'm only going to tip 10%. Like, that's my city... my bar, and when I go back there, I have to look that bartender in the eye that I know I gave only a 10% tip, and that's my decision.
That's
I don't, whether you agree with that or not, like, I'm doing that on my own turf. But I think the difference is you're visiting your parents. There's this added thing of like, oh, we're in this sort of hoity-toity place. But I think, to me, you can take that off the table and just say, no, we are in your community, and we're going to a restaurant that you frequent, and you asked us to do this. So you just say yes for that reason. And maybe in the back of your mind you go, well, I don't really know if I agree with that. But you're not on your turf. I don't think you make that decision in that scenario. You just say yes to whatever the person that's hosting you asked you to do.
I feel better now. By the way, and nobody here listens to my show, and nobody is listening, the service was terrible. The food was good. the service was awful.
The service was, and maybe because they get a 20% tip, whether they give good service or not.
That's right. It was terrible. Like I said, the food was good, you know, but that didn't factor in. I was giving, and not only, by the way, I went above and beyond. Not only did I, of course, give the 20% tip, but I went and got it in cash. Went and got cash. And I was like, so they don't have to. I know there's still taxes on tips or whatever they want to do with it. I went and did it in cash because I didn't want to embarrass my parents. And, you know, I wanted to do the right thing that was socially acceptable here at their, you know, their little cafe. Okay, see, I feel better now because I thought I have completely abandoned my values now that I am south of the border and I've turned into a total hypocrite.
Well, you did abandon your values, especially you just said it was bad service. Here's why
it's
you
terrible.
Did it. Here's why you did
terrible.
It. The reason you did it, because you know you're going to be leaving, and then your mom and dad would have to show up, and they're, oh, your daughter, wow.
Jeez. Wow, cheapskate.
Hope she's not coming back.
She's high maintenance.
Yes.
She asked for water three times.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
God.
I guess.
Make sure she doesn't.
Right.
Come
I didn't want to
again.
Embarrass them. That's so funny. So it's funny how I am different, Jordana, when I'm at home. And here, maybe it is reverting back to the parenting. Maybe, you know, because when you're around, if you're lucky enough to have them, you act like a kid.
Okay. You said that you went out of your way to get cash to tip at this establishment. Mm-hmm. That so basically, you're saying you went out of your way to get cash so that these workers could circumvent the tax system and not pay tax.
It's going to jump all over me now.
No, I'm just clarifying. Is that correct? Is that why you did that?
I went out of my way because my parents said they like cash tips. So I went to the ATM and I got cash because I wanted to do what was right for the server.
See, I think that's...
They get to decide whether or not they pay taxes. But if they prefer cash, I was going to get that for them.
Okay, but you know that the reason they prefer cash is because then they cannot pay income tax on that.
See, now I've gotten myself in trouble. You guys were being nice to me, and now the whole group is going to turn against me and say, not only have you abandoned your values, you're helping people break the... I'm aiding and abetting tax evasion. Oh, boy. I hit the Florida border, I'm lawless.
Also,
now.
Aiding and abetting terrible service. My God, you just said these people were terrible at their jobs.
Awful.
You gave them a cash tip. What's wrong with you? What has happened?
Who have I become? Isn't that awful? Who have I become? Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I feel a little better. But, Adam, I would actually love to go back to the conversation you asked me about. Hold on. I'll read some of these texts first. Should we do that right now or should we take a break and read the text and then kind of pivot? Because you said you did the right thing because you wanted to...
Protect
you know,
parents.
Do the right because of your parents.
Yes.
Yeah, because your parents told you to. And I guess I wonder, maybe I should save this for next Swing in It. I wonder if there's an age where you either stop fighting against your parents. You know, you said if I was a teenager, I would be like, no, you know, I'm against whatever my parents say, I'm going to do the opposite. If there is an age at some point where you just start doing what your parents say. Curious about that. But let's take a break. When we get back, we'll read some of these tips. Because you guys
texts.
Are chiming in. Texts.
We'll take tips too. We'll open our Venmo account. You can tip us too. And base it on how we're performing today.
Flustered. We should do that. I like it. All right. We'll be right back. This Swingin' It Wednesday, I have admitted I've completely abandoned my values since I have crossed the border into Florida. And I am a different Jordana. Here's why. Mark and I were going out to have lunch at the little cafe in my parents' community. And my parents said, make sure you leave at least a 20% tip. And they like their tips in cash. And I didn't bat an eye. Jordana, Minnesota Jordana would be like, hey, don't tell me what to tip. I'll tip if the service is good. Right. And I can't, if it's crappy service, I'm not going to do it. And what do you mean in cash? It's fine. And the restaurant should charge enough. They shouldn't rely on tips for me to pay their health care. But I looked at my mom and I was like, no problem. And I did. I tipped 20% for crappy service in cash.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it. I just feel like I have morphed into a different Jordana.
Also, let me just say this. You are like full Jersey Jordana now. Like the way you're talking is totally different than normal.
And I apologize
Florida,
to the listeners.
Parents.
I apologize to the listeners yesterday. I said, even I can hear it.
Yeah.
Because everybody here is from the Northeast.
Yeah.
Everybody in the community, everybody in South Florida is from the Northeast. So the Minnesotans go to the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I said, the accent, just bear with me for another week. And when I get home, I'll be able to shed. But I almost, I can't right now because it's, yeah, I apologize.
So is this like, did your parents explain, like, is this like a known, so like all the members of the community have discussed this and they all have kind of gotten together and said, we have to do this?
I also think they try to keep the prices a little bit lower at this cafe. You know, it's on property. It's not open to the public.
Right.
I think it's sort of like a little nicety, you know, that they do for the residents having this little cafe, you know, by the pool. So they want people to tip. They want to help the workers feel highly compensated, get a little extra and feel valued, and also probably keep the stay in this job. You know, restaurant workers can work wherever they want. So right now at this point, they would, it's just a service to the workers that they're asking the community members, remember, who already pay assessments and already pay fees, to step up with. But I, again, Florida, Jordan is different. I had no problem with that. So some of your texts were very interesting, are very interesting. Someone says, I just canceled your parents. I know. Thank you. And no, the person retracted. You were just trying to do the right thing, not a hypocrite. Thank you. Jor, good morning. As a person who's worked in the tipping industry for a large part of my life, I have to say tipping should totally be based on service, regardless of where you are. That being said, I find it interesting you think people that work in restaurants here need the money less than people in Florida. Just a thought. I'm sorry if I misconstrued that. I don't think any worker needs the money more or less. This wasn't about a financial thing. You know, this was about me kowtowing to my parents when in Minnesota, I would say, no, the tip has to be based on service, or if there are extra fees, then you can tip less. Jordana, the minimum wage for tipped employees in Florida is $5.63 per hour, so it's not a great wage.
Well, it's changed. Okay. I looked that up. Now, as of January 1st of this year, it was bumped to $9.98 for tipped employees. That's now the minimum wage. Again,
okay.
I think many people would argue, well, that's not very good either, but I just want
to... Wait, in Minnesota?
No, in Florida. In Florida.
In Florida, yeah. Okay. Jor, I always tip 20%. I wouldn't let my parents saying it bother me much. Okay. Jor, why was the service terrible? Oh, because, you know, they were late. Whatever, you know, typical. Jor, many tipped workers make more than I did. Plus very few actually pay taxes on their tips. That's on them, not on me. I'm not the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Let's see. The standard tip for decent service used to be 15%. Now it's 20. I think the reason is people are math challenged to compute 15%. Maybe. I can do is tips and sales, because if you tell me something's 25% off and I'm shopping, I will very easily be able to count. That's the only math I do, by the way, what percentage off I'm getting. In Florida, the minimum wage for tipped employees, is $9.98. per hours in cash wages plus tips. And even now they say that's not a living wage. Okay, I get it. My son works in the restaurant industry. They say always check your service as well as 20 years plus. I'm sorry, this trailed off.
Can I ask?
Jordana, you did the right thing. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Like, so if your parents came up to Minnesota and you all went out, would you do the same thing? Like, hey, I know you guys are used to, you know, tipping 20% no matter what, but be a little more stringent up here.
Stingy?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I mean, I don't comment on, especially if they're buying dinner. They can say whatever they want.
But you're right. You know, so back to the texter's point about how it used to be 15% or even before that 10%. There have been times where I have been, I'm not going to point who I was out with, but I was with and with some people who were older, and I think we're of that generation that, you know, 10% is plenty or 15% is plenty. And I've actually, like, they picked up the tab and they left, and I went back, and knowing that they only left 10%, I put more money into the envelope.
Okay.
Is that a bad move? Is that?
I don't think so. I think if you feel that somebody was shortchanged or you want to do a proper service, no, I don't. I think that's fine. Yeah. If you add more, no, I think that's generous and thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
As long as also the person tipping, you don't want to embarrass them.
Exactly. I didn't say, hey, geez, open the wallet there, guy. Like, no, I kind of went back and snuck it in there just because I felt like, okay, they deserve a little more than that. And I didn't want to call somebody out and saying, hey, quit being so stingy.
And that's how you do it, because you're a mensch. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you for chiming in. Like, if my values change any more dramatically since I've crossed the Florida border, I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. But right now, it was just on tipping today.
Nice. I was hoping for the report from Florida later today, hoping that you've, like, totally become super liberated, and especially with the people you're with. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we'll get more reports on that.
You will, for sure.
Good. All right, 9:30, we'll take a break. Traffic and weather, and my winging it has to do with, I really, 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 really want to give applause to our president, if I could. But I'm still struggling with that. That's coming up after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, 3-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me just be clear here. Donald Trump is doing exactly what I wish more politicians in this country had the balls to do.
What?
Yes. The problem is I have zero trust in him. How many times have I said on this air, and I'm not the only one who says that we as Americans are so short-sighted. It's all about what's happening right now, and politicians play into that. It doesn't matter what happens 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. It's about, I got to get reelected, so I'm banking on the fact that I need Americans to feel good about themselves and about the economy and about their lives right now. And if they don't, I'm going to tell them immediately how I'm going to fix it right away. I'm going to lower prices right away. I'm going to put money back in your pockets right away. It's going to happen right away. When in reality, as in so many areas of our life, things are not an easy fix. We expect instant gratification in this society, in our world, as human beings. We're trained that way now. That is our mindset. When in fact, long-term goals, long-term positivity, to make life better often, you have to go through serious hardship. And if you... Donald Trump has been now saying this, okay, that no matter if it's tariffs, whatever it is, if it's government slashing, if it's eliminating the bloat in our government, the pain will be short-term for benefit of long-term positivity and long-term growth. I think we need more of that. We need politicians to say, hey, it's going to really suck for a brief period of time, but we're going to get through it, and it's going to be better in the end. That's all well and good, again, but the problem is I don't trust him to do that, and it's based on a track record and who the person is. And, again, if you're a Trump supporter, you may feel the same way, even though, yes, he said, I'm going to lower prices on day one. I'm going to fix the economy. It's going to be great to be an American again. We're going to be the richest country on earth. We'll have so much money, we don't know what to do. And you may feel totally confident in him, but I don't, and I'm sorry. And I know it's tedious. You just can't believe anything Trump said. But that's how we base our beliefs. You don't, when you go to a doctor, you of all people know this, Jor, that it's like you have a serious life-threatening situation and it is going to suck. No doctor's saying, oh, this will be a cakewalk, no problem. Oh, you got cancer? Oh, it could kill you, but you know what? You're going to feel great. No, they give you the reality of your situation. Mm-hmm. At least you hope they do. That's what I want. I want you to tell me, don't sugarcoat this. It's going to be very painful, but guess what? We are going to save your life. The same should be coming from our politicians. But you trust that doctor. If you didn't trust the doctor, you wouldn't put faith into what that doctor is saying. And the same goes with our leader. I go back to the pandemic. The reason why in 2020, 5 years ago, when we had to slow the spread, because I had faith in the people leading us that said, okay, this is going to suck for the next year or whatever it is. Honestly, they could have been more upfront about it, saying it's going to be longer than we think. It would have been an absolute hard, difficult message for Americans to hear. But if I have faith in the leadership, then I trust them. And again, we can play Monday morning quarterback and say, well, they did this wrong. Okay, you're right. But we have to have a certain level of trust in somebody, especially when they tell us that, again, which is why so many politicians fail to do that. It doesn't matter, even though they know better, saying, okay, we have to fix this now, and it might be a false sense of security, a false sense of positivity, but I got to get reelected again, so I can't really go in and say, hey, boy, you know, in my next term, it's really going to stink out there. But trust me when I say it's going to be better, we're going to be better for it. Nobody has the courage to do that. Nobody does. And again, I'll tip my hat to President Trump saying, okay, let's go through this economic uncertainty, whether it's tariffs, whatever it is, because we're going to be better for it. But again, the problem is I don't trust him to do that. And therein lies the problem.
Yeah, it is about trust, especially when you're voting on, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. Adam, I do agree with you that he's being, I believe, right now, more transparent, saying we're going to be in a little bit of pain. I believe that's how he said it during his State of the Union a few days ago. But the thing is, he didn't say that when he was running.
Right.
He said everything's going to be fixed and things are going to change on day one. And yes, there were many executive orders. Things are very different now, and it's only been 6-7 weeks. Certain things have changed, but and maybe we were unrealistic for believing that he would be able to change things quickly, but that's what he wanted us to believe. Also, I wonder if his current transparency is because he can't get reelected. Under the current laws of the United States of America, he cannot run for reelection.
That could change, by the way.
Under the current laws of the United States of America, that was the disclaimer for what I said. He cannot run again. So at this point, you're right that he has nothing to lose with the transparency. So I appreciate the transparency. I really do. But you're absolutely right that you can't trust it. I mean, what I heard the president say, and this is something that made a lot of people vote for him, was that if the hostages in Gaza aren't returned on day one, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's no hell. I'm not seeing hell to pay. And the hostages are still not all returned, including American from Tenafly, New Jersey, Eden Alexander. So it makes you not trust. So then when he is trying to be transparent and say, oh, it's just a little bit of pain, you still don't believe it. So I hear you, and I know you're looking for a silver lining that you want to applaud him for this transparency. But it's really hard to believe any of it.
And here's a text. Does every day have to be listening to the disapproval of President Trump? I listen to CCO whenever I'm in the car. Love the morning show, and I start turning the radio off after 9 a.m., turning it on again at 3 p.m. Texter, call in and tell me why I should believe him. Honestly. Obviously, there are a lot of people who do believe him.
Yes.
And again, I'm all for a politician saying, you know what? Having the guts to say that this is going to be a painful period, but guess what? Here's why it's going to work, and show me the work. Show me how it is going to work. Be clear and open with me. Don't speak in platitudes that, oh, trust me, we're going to be so rich. Explain how that happens, and I will trust you. That, you know, of course we shouldn't have 100 complete faith in our government. Does government do things badly? Yes. Does government do things sometimes fraudulently and wrong? Yes. Are there bad actors involved? Yes. But we should still have a certain amount of faith in the people who lead us, because if we are truly to be a country of, even though we may have differing political beliefs, I think we all believe that we'd like to do better. And how does that look like? So show me, convince me. The problem is like going back to the doctor. If there was a doctor who was totally untrustworthy, who had patients dying left and right, and suddenly your life is in that doctor's hands and they're telling you, hey, everything's good, you just have to trust me on this. How much trust would you give that person? Zero. But we should expect the same from our politicians. Tell us the truth so we can prepare for what's coming and believe in a mission. It seems with a company you work for. If a company you work for is doing decisions, and a lot of those decisions are painful, we've all been through it, whether it's layoffs or pay cuts or whatever it is. If that person who's in charge of your company, at least on that level, says, I know this is going to be a difficult position, but we have complete faith in this company that they're going to lead us through it, okay, then I can, if that company has proven that they can be trustworthy, then you have that faith. But if they don't, or if they're just like, yeah, I don't know what we're doing, but, you know, this is going to be painful, you wouldn't have zero trust in that. And this is not meant to be Trump-ish. I'm giving him credit for saying that, like, hey, we have to go through some pain if we want to come out on the other side and be a successful country. But what faith do you have in that person for doing that? And for me, I'm sorry, I don't have faith in him doing that. Now, could I be proven wrong? Could we all be proven wrong? Yes. But I'm saying it makes it a lot easier, and I think you get a lot more buy-in if you have faith in that person who's making those decisions. And we don't. At least I don't.
Your texts are very enlightening. This text says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Americans only think about themselves, not what's long-term good for America. Fair, because someone said, how long is short-term? This is another text. Many seniors only have short-term. And I hear you. And there are times of depression in our country. There are times of growth. And yes, if you are a senior and you are living off investments or living off Social Security, or I guess Social Security wouldn't be affected, but I understand you are nervous because you might not see the benefits. I had an expert on tariffs yesterday, an economist, and he said what Trump's trying to do, sure, tariffs can work, but it could take 40 years. And that is a long time. That is a really long time for people. You know, I'm not going to be around in 40 years to witness the benefits of the tariffs. Does it mean we don't do it now? You know, if that were the case, we wouldn't plant trees. We're not going to be able to eat the fruit of the tree in however many years. Oftentimes, it's really a metaphor. But we still do it because it's what's better for our country, what's better for our kids. But Adam, to your point, can this plan be trusted?
Yeah,
it's a very good question.
Here's a text too. So I didn't feel a choice but to trust Trump. What he's doing, I believe, must be done. We had to change course, and no other politician would be willing to do what has to be done to save this country. The other politicians know about the debt and corruption, but prefer to kick problems down the road, which goes back to my point from 2016. And I know why Donald Trump was elected not once, but twice. Trust me, I do, because there's so many people that feel that same way, that feel this country is headed in the wrong direction, whether it's corruption, a bloated government, a bloated bureaucracy. Who on the show has ever said, boy, you know, this government's working fine and swell and everything's going great?
Never.
We talk about it all the time. And so there was ample opportunity for that, for a Donald Trump to be elected. But going back to what I've said, there could have been so many other people that did that, as opposed to this guy who is like, his whole life has been one great smoke, has just been smoke and mirrors. And this is the guy that we're putting faith in to do this work that needs to be done, but it's this person, when there's so many other people out there, I think, that could have done the same thing and we could have had trust in. And we would be in a much different situation, said, okay, we can get behind this person. But we based that trust on track record. And in this case, I think the track record is clear. And if I'm sorry if you don't see it that way, if you feel like he's the greatest thing and that he's this great super businessman that's made all these great deals, you're just not looking at the whole truth of it. I'm sorry.
651-461-9226. You can't make an omelet unless you break some eggs. We get it. But Adam started off with the positivity and ended with frustration. We'll be back to wrap up Wing It Wednesday.
9:54. That is your Lindus Construction time check. Time to sign up for your home improvement project before spring manufacturing price increases hit on April 1st. I'll take a deep breath here. I'll change the subject quickly. I don't want to piss off any more listeners, think that I'm just Trump bashing. I tried to like give him a backhanded compliment. It was kind of
right.
I mean, I guess I can't do that. I was out yesterday because my wife Jennifer's grandmother passed away. 95, a wonderful life, wonderful funeral service. But I wanted to mention that there was an absolute celebrity at that funeral yesterday. I mean, you talk about jaws dropping. And the kid's only 18 years old.
Oh, so it wasn't you.
No. Mason Kraft, who is now Mr. Hockey, scored 4 goals in the championship game for Moorhead. He is Jen's cousin. And I mean, the kid was at the funeral yesterday, and boy, he got a round of applause. I mean, here's the family gather. You know how the family gathers before the funeral service? He walked in, and the whole family applauded. I mean, and it's just, he looks like he's 12 years old and, you know, just unassuming little kid. And he's like the biggest sports star right now in the state of Minnesota. And it's like, I was like, oh my God, that's Mason Kraft. That's the greatest hockey player. It's like the best high school hockey player in the state of Minnesota right now. And it was just, I was like, oh my God, I wonder if I could get a, would it be inappropriate for me to get a selfie with this kid at a funeral? But no,
yes,
it would be. But boy, and he was talking after, you know, it was just your perfect, but it was just your typical small church funeral. And then everybody goes down in the basement and has, you know, a little lunch after. And this kid was talking to everybody and it was just, what an impressive young man. On all the other accolades, he's obviously an unbelievable hockey talent. But just I thought I'd express it. What a nice young man that kid is.
Was she his great grandmother?
Yes. It was his great grandmother who had passed away. So what a kid. And just it was very nice service. She lived a wonderful life. 95 years old, a beautiful family, and everybody was there to celebrate. And it was just, I thought I'd add that in.
Wonderful. David, what you got coming up for us on Quick Takes?
Bob's milestone for Little Free Libraries. Also, what's your favorite card game? We'll talk about both of those coming up in Quick Takes.